It is time now for hour number two of this weekend's big two-hour get-together here on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and Carol Marks, of course, is our host. She is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. And we're going to kick this hour off with Carol in conversation with Tori Williams. Tori Williams is a passionate stem cell advocate. She's an author and co-founder of the Alabama Institute of Medicine. She's going to talk about her new book titled Inevitable Collision, which is published by Mary Ann Liebert Incorporated. Williams has pledged to donate 100% of the proceeds from her book to FDA-compliant stem cell research and development. Here now is Carol Marks in conversation with Tori Williams.
Your friend was able to get into a study by a company called Garin, and it was in the various stages that you go through in clinical trials, and he was in the first stage, and that means that if the drug comes through positively, that it is safe. That's what they look for in that first stage. And everything was going really well, and then the company all of a sudden stopped the studies. Why was that? And when they looked at the patients, like your friend, how did they find that they had done, even in those early stages when the clinical trial wasn't able to be finished?
Yes. So the company that you mentioned, Geron, they are located in Menlo Park, California, and they spent decades really building their stem cell program, but they, you know, unfortunately, the trial did halt in November of 2011, a year into the phase one safety trial. They had enrolled 5 patients at the time that the company decided to halt the trial. This was not related to any medical issue. It was more of a business decision and a business strategy. So it was more of an internal, you know, business decision. But since then, follow-up studies in the 5 patients have shown that no serious side effects due to the therapy have occurred. All MRI scans have shown that the actual injury site has shrunk and that the cells may have had some positive effects in reducing the deterioration in the spinal cord tissue. So, you know, according to the research and the data they've collected, it seems that phase one is truly a success. And I have personally interviewed 2 of the 5 patients. Katie Sherifai, she is in California, and she was the 5th patient. So she's, you know, another brave hero of our time that took this as an opportunity to advance research. And she made her decision to participate even knowing that Geron had halted the trial, but she had already completed her paperwork, and she was screened and had met all of that criteria, the inclusion criteria to be a candidate in this trial. So she went ahead and participated, which is, in my opinion, such of a brave move on her part, because she didn't really, it was uncertain of what would happen in the clinical trial. But Geron has committed to following the patients that were already enrolled, so they will be monitored. They will be, future MRIs are on schedule. They will be carefully watch to make certain that they, you know, remain healthy and that they can get the data that they need, the researchers can, to truly give us as people and the world feedback on, are these cells safe for humans to receive a therapy?
Now, isn't there going to be a new trial starting in the new year that's coming up, 2015?
That's correct. Several of team management from Geron, when Geron decided to halt their stem cell program, the top medical director and scientific officer and vice president of research, they left, and they actually started a new company under BioTime Inc. So BioTime is another big biotech company, and they bought all of the stem cell assets from Geron, and they actually received clearance from FDA this past summer to go ahead and resume phase 2 clinical trials.
What I like about it is that they're going to do it more intensively. In other words, the people in the study are going to have a higher doses of stem cells, and it's going to focus on patients with complete spinal cord injuries originating in the neck rather than the back. and that the patients will have lost all feeling and movement below the injury site. So it's going forward, and the trials are being, I think you could say they were being more aggressive, and really be interested, you know, to follow it and see what's going to happen. In 2013, you co-founded the Alabama Institute of Medicine, whose main mission is to provide funds for FDA-compliant and promising stem cell research. So what kinds and what types of research when it comes to regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy are you hoping to fund?
Yeah, so we are not, you know, we do promote embryonic stem cell research because we do believe that is the, you know, golden standard of research. There's just so much potential in embryonic stem cells because you can differentiate these cells into any cell or tissue in the body, so they can become anything, whereas other cell types are a little more tricky. You can't really coax them or differentiate them to become, you know, the different types of cells. We have over 200 cell types in our body, so that it becomes a little complicated. But we did launch AIM in 2013. It's a nonprofit organization. We're dedicated to funding research. Any type of stem cell or regenerative medicine treatment can be used. And so we've been very successful this last year. We received $1 million donation and have already awarded over $900,000 to local researchers here at the University of Alabama at Birmingham at UAB. And it's very encouraging for us to see that there are researchers in our state who have had the ideas. They've had, you know, some resources to find these discoveries in stem cell research, but they lack the one thing that most researchers across the United States lack, and that's funding. So researchers here are thrilled to have our program. We're already excited and optimistic that next year's round of funding will be another, at least $1 million, we hope. We'll make that announcement in early spring. But we told researchers in our state we're not focusing on one particular cell type. There are many different cell types that can be used. Adult stem cells, those are, you know, they have tremendous promise. They're found like in our blood and in our body, and talk about bone marrow. There's also another type, and it's fetal stem cells. We do not fund research that is used from fetal stem cells. That's just, it's in our bylaws, and we, although there have been research to indicate there is, you know, potential treatment in these cells, we just decided it's not in sync with our principles and what we want to fund through AIM. So we've not funded any project, nor will we going forward.
I think a good ethical decision when it comes to that. Now, one of the exciting things that I learned from your book is that there's a biogel matrix that could be the missing link to really organ regeneration. And so can you just tell us briefly about its inventor, what it's derived from, and what kind of promising environment can it provide? Because I guess this new matrix could provide a way to grow an organ. Is that correct?
That's correct. So Dr. Rajsingh, he is this brilliant researcher from Birmingham, and he was an oncology professor at UAB for over a decade. He had an idea to use discarded human embryonic tissue. So just think of every time that there's a delivery, a pregnancy that ends in a delivery, the placenta is typically thrown away. Well, Dr. Singh wanted, he felt there were so much, you know, cells in that placenta, healthy cells. That's what we were able to survive in our mother's womb because of that placenta. So he knew it had potential to be thriving, and it could help sustain cells. So he took those placentas and removed the outer layer of that placenta and did some different things to it, some removed contaminants and whatnot, and derived it down to its natural state. So this few biogels, is what he discovered. He took the idea and launched his own company called Vivo Biosciences, Inc. And it's a very small startup company, but it has great potential in a variety of different markets, not only for stem cell treatment, but also for toxicology and for diagnostic purposes, because this is the only globally patented technology that has been discovered. And it's here in Birmingham, and how awesome is that? But so TJ, the young man I talked about earlier, when he received his 2 million cells in his spinal cord, probably 95% to 99% of those cells died because our bodies are taught to attack foreign substances or cells. TJ even said after he learned of Dr. Singh's HeBioGel, he said, I wish we would have had the HeBioGel then because those cells would have felt like they were in its natural environment and they would have, you know, stayed in that cavity of my spinal cord and they would have, you know, been able to really do what they needed to do there. And so this HeBioGel has potential. It provides that natural environment and enables normal or diseased human cells to survive and grow outside the body while functioning like they do inside the body. So it's like a scaffold to build tissues. It's very important for other diseases also, like for cancer.
That's Tori Williams in conversation with Carol Marks. Her book is entitled Inevitable Collision, published by Mary Ann Liebert Incorporated, and she's pledged to donate 100% of the proceeds from the book to FDA-compliant stem cell research and development. And if you'd like more information about Tori, go to aim4cure.org, and the 4 is the number 4, so it's aim4cure.org. Carol Marks returns in a moment, speaking with the former director of applied science at the National Forensic Academy, Patricia Cornwell. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here is the host of the program again, Carol Marks, in conversation now, as promised, with Patricia Cornwell. Patricia Cornwell is a former director of applied science at the National Forensic Academy. She's a member of the advisory board for the Forensic Sciences Training Program at the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner in New York City. And she's going to talk to Carol about her latest forensic thriller, Flesh and Blood. It's published by William Morrow.
And congratulations on your latest Scarpetta novel, Flesh and Blood. Can you believe it's your 22nd? And I personally think it's your best.
Oh, you're so kind. You know what? I kind of think it's my best, too. You know, it's funny you would say that because recently I had to reread my very first book, Postmortem, because I annotated it for an auction for the Penn Awards. And while I still think that is a really special, wonderful book, I thought to myself, I still kind of do like Flesh and Blood better. I think I like it better than anything I've done. So thank you for saying that.
And let's talk a little bit about your newest book. And I think one of the reasons that your thrillers keep getting better is the fact that you have let your wonderful character, Dr. Katie Scarpetta, really change and grow over the years. And I certainly see that in this novel, she has really grown into a very caring person that cares about what happens to the victims even more.
Yes, I think the difference is in the earlier books, Scarpetta always cared, but she wasn't as open about showing her feelings. And I think one of the things, hopefully, that happens with us as we evolve, and I think one of the beauties of getting older is that we become so much smarter and we know ourselves so much better and we reflect on things that we really should reflect on. And now I let Scarpetta do that so that she becomes more fully human with each book. We know she's smart. We know she's mastered the technology. We know we're going to be dazzled by what she can do to solve a crime. But I also want to show what she feels, what it feels like to be her, and what she reflects on.
And one of the things that that I like so much about the book that shows, you know, how much she does care about the victim is there are some unpleasant people in the book, and one of them is a very dubious insurance salesman, Ron Bloom, and he works hard to keep the victims from getting the insurance money that they're entitled to. And she really makes a wonderful comment, you know, that she's just sick of people getting away with things like that. And I love that.
Oh, yeah. You don't mess with her on that front. That's exactly right. She's up against this horrifically corrupt insurance investigator who finds dirt on people, including a case that Scarpetta had with an older gentleman who goes out for a hike in the woods and dies of exposure because he has some sort of cardiac event and they can't find him in time. And this sad, sad case, but the widow is the victim of this insurance investigator who tries to find ways to make sure he harasses her to the point that he's hoping she will give up pursuing the insurance claim, which could make the difference in whether she loses her house or not. Well, you don't do that kind of stuff around Scarpetta because she is going to prevail, and she's outraged, and that's the fun of her because when she gets out her sword of justice, you better clear the decks.
And talking about the plot, it's mind-boggling, and we just say that there's this master, really serial killer who's out there and doesn't leave incriminating evidence, and his shots are impossible, but they cause instant death, and the victims have nothing in common, and there's no pattern to indicate where the killer will strike next, and I've never seen such an unusual, wonderful plot because it has so many twists and turns about these impossible, so many things that have to get solved.
Yes, and that's always the fun part. When I started doing the research for Flesh and Blood, and I went out to Texas on three different occasions to where they have the really big, wide-open fire ranges and was there with experts trying out different types of weapons and ammunition and different conditions and the highest technology you can imagine, what I did was I did work these things backwards where I created a scenario where Scarpetta's going to see something at a crime scene that looks like it defies the laws of science and physics. It's not possible this could have happened to this person. But, of course, I know better because I figured out a way that that could happen by doing the research up front. So I always set the trap for Scarpetta. I go, I want to give you something you can't figure out, and, of course, she's going to.
And that's what makes it so interesting to the reader. Now, what was that experience like, firing all these different types of rifles, including one that was so, you know, strong?
Well, this one particular high-tech, which has a quasi-drone capability, it's so advanced, and I did shoot something like this a number of times out there. Well, it was amazing. It's a bit intimidating. I'm not a marksman, I'm not a sniper, and even though this thing made it a lot easier for you to hit a target at a very long distance, it still required a steady hand and also just some fortitude, because one of the things that happens to me now is when I go out to test things, people are watching, and, you know, you don't want to be stupid. You don't want to make you want to at least hold your own while you're trying to do some of this stuff, whether it's, you know, flying a helicopter or scuba diving, you know, or shooting a gun. And I put myself through those paces with every book if it applies to what the plot is. And by the way, that's an encouragement. You know, I'm 58 years old, and I still go out and do all this stuff.
And so you are a wonderful role model, because we are all getting older and we're going to live longer, and we can have a wonderful, exciting life and get smarter at the same time. So I think it's all positive. You're an example.
Oh, yeah. It's like, hello, we're just getting started. I say, hey, don't take it sitting down. You know, go out and do something that you think you can't do anymore. Even if you don't do it the same way, you might be surprised at just how good it feels.
And your newest whodunit, Flesh and Blood, features suspense and surprises, and the final scenes are both logical and shocking. Might there be a sequel to Flesh and Blood?
I'm working on it now. In fact,
I've already
done most of the research. I was diving the Bermuda Triangle about a couple months ago, and I've already, you know, I haven't had much time to work on it lately, but I am well in the throes of it.
That's Patricia Cornwell in conversation with Carol Marks, and her forensic thriller is titled Flesh and Blood. It's published by William Morrow. I'm Michael Harrison. Coming up next, Richard Neer joins us for the rest of the way. He'll be talking with Mavis Albin, the team captain of the Celedron Tigerettes, and she's going to talk about the Florida International Senior Games and State Championships in Florida. That and more coming your way when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here on this great radio station in a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, who moments from now will be having a conversation with Mavis Albin. She's the team captain of the Seledrin Tigerettes, and she's going to talk about the Florida International Senior Games and state championships in Florida. The Tigerettes are real hotshots. They've won 7 senior Olympic gold medals and have the most wins in the National Senior Games competition, an astonishing 206 victories to 6. They sound like the Golden State Warriors. The Florida International Senior Championships will qualify the Seledrin Tigerettes for the 2015 Senior National Games. So what's the story here, Richard? This is a female seniors playing basketball?
These are women. They are all over 65 years old. They play basketball, and as you said, they win. And they're not the Harlem Globetrotters. They don't play stiff teams. They play real competition all over the country.
But they play other teams of senior women.
Well, they don't play the Cleveland Cavaliers, if that's what you're asking.
Although the way the Cleveland Cavaliers
they
have been playing,
they don't go against LeBron.
You know, they would probably win a couple of those games at this point.
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. But the great thing is, I mean, here are women in their 70s playing basketball. You know, basketball is a strenuous sport. You run up and down the court, even if you're only playing half-court basketball. There's a lot of movement involved, unless you're the Knicks. So it's a really a great way to get exercise. The funny thing is, you know, I'm previewing the interview a little bit. I asked Mavis about injuries, and they've had broken noses, broken fingers, dislocated hips. They play hard.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're in a organized sports. Organized sports with competition gets tough, no matter how they say it shouldn't. Isn't that true? I mean, even senior softball. I mean, it becomes competitive. Is basketball, do you think, in your opinion, as you're a sports expert, do you think basketball is a safe game aside from broken bones, just the general motion of it and the nature of it for somebody in their 70s? I guess you got to be careful.
Well, sure, it can be. It can be. I mean, obviously the NBA has become very physical where, you know, you block the lane, you're going to get hit. I don't think at this level it should be, but you know, occasionally, I mean, you jump up, somebody's trying to block a shot, they accidentally bump into you, you could fall to the ground, it's a hard court, so you could get hurt, there's no question about that, and especially if you do take it too seriously. I think where you're going with this is sometimes our competitive juices get flowing, and you know, our self-respect seems to be on the line athletically here, and we go a little bit harder than we should.
Mm. Speaking of the NBA, just switching gears here and just tapping into your sports expertise, there seems to be a compatibility in terms of athleticism between basketball players and football players. And basketball players, some of them really would be good football players, I think, if they were to. Like LeBron James would make a great running back, don't you think?
No.
What position would you put him at?
I do not. I think he might be a great wide receiver. You know?
Oh, with the hands and catching.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, and being so tall, you'd be able to throw the ball way up in the air for him to catch. So it might be something like that. But, you know, there have been basketball players and baseball players. Remember Bo Jackson played both sports. There have been crossover athletes who have played different sports. Dave DeBuscher was a baseball pitcher as well as a basketball player. So there have been a bunch of guys that have done that.
But baseball doesn't seem to be, you know, you could have a person who is a general, you know, very, very, you know, talented athlete, diverse, you know, diversity in terms of being able to do anything. But basketball, you know, the way they block each other, they bang into each other, they have to move around each other, it seems like a indoor civilized form of, you know, rugby or football. It just sometimes feels that way.
Well, it does, but you're not supposed to do that. Basketball. Basketball is supposed to be a non-contact sport, but we all know differently, don't we?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing how violent it is and how physical basketball has become. And, you know, some cases it takes away from the game, and in some cases it's kind of fun to watch. We're going to take a break. We're going to listen to Richard speaking with Mavis Albin. And then we'll come back and have a chat here on the weekend before Christmas, 2014. And I do hope you're spending this time with people you love and enjoying the holiday as it unfolds. I'm Michael Harrison. You're listening to A Touch of Gray, which continues in a moment.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Whoa, a digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Glad you like it. We can finally toss out that old massive stereo.
Mom, you can't just throw out electronics. They need to be recycled or donated.
Recycled? Like aluminum cans?
Yeah. You just go to greenergadgets.org, enter your zip code, and it tells you where the nearest certified recycling center is.
I knew that.
Okay, Mom.
Recycling electronics is as easy as buying them. Log on to greenergadgets.org to find electronics recycling options near you.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is...
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here, as promised, is Richard Neer in conversation with Mavis Albin. She's the team captain of the Celadrin Tigerettes, and she's going to talk about the Florida International Senior Games and state championships in the Sunshine State. The Tigerettes have won 7 senior Olympic gold medals and have won the most games in the National Senior Games competition, an astonishing record of 206 victories, 6 losses. Pretty amazing. The Florida International Senior Championships will qualify the Celadrin Tigerettes for the 2015 Senior National Games.
How did this team come together in the first place?
You have to be 50 to join the Senior Games. When I joined, you had to be 55, and then a few years later, they lowered the age to 50. I read about it in the paper, and then I knew a few friends around town here who played, and one of the ladies on my team now read about it. She called me and said, I want to play. I said, well, get you some girls and come play with us. And I immediately knew I didn't want to play against her. I wanted to play with her, Nikki Leader. So she joined the team, and then we met Mary Benson out in Oregon when we played full court basketball. And I knew she was an awesome athlete, so she came on board. So we've just picked up one or two every now and then. We've all been together now for 16, 17 years.
Now, where are you based exactly? Do you all live in the same area, or do you have to fly people in to have games, or how does that work?
We do not live in the same area. We all did at one time live in Louisiana, but except one of our members did not. But one of our members live in Canada. And we have a sponsor called Celadrin, which is a cream that alleviates pain immediately. So that's why we're still playing. And they fly her in, and we all fly to the destinations where we play. And we play around the United States.
How often are your games scheduled? Do you have a regular schedule, a monthly schedule, or how does that work?
We do not have a monthly schedule. We just read about tournaments, and we know when there's going to be teams at a tournament that we're interested in playing against, so we qualify to go to that tournament, and we will be in Fort Myers next week, in fact, Hopefully there'll be some people there that we can play. And we're getting ready for the Nationals. The National Games occur every 2 years. So next year, July 15, we will be in Minnesota. And that's the one that everyone wants to win the gold medal, and we've been fortunate enough to win 7.
Wow, that is a great record. And you had a record of 198-5, which is just tremendous. I saw you play the Today Show staff, and you shut them down pretty easily, didn't you?
Oh, that was so much fun. We've just been afforded so many opportunities that we would not have if had not been for basketball. But they were great sports, and we just had a fun time with all those folks.
Now, tell us just a little bit about the rules of your game. Do you play 5-on-5, 6-on-6, 3-on-3? How does it work? How long is your court? How long are the games?
Well, we play 3-on-3, and it's 2 20-minute halves, and we play by the NCAA rules. And it has really gotten to be a very physical game, Richard. I know people say, oh, y'all, what kind of uniforms you wear and all that kind of stuff. Look, we're serious about this. We have regular uniforms. We have warm-ups, and we play to win. And, of course, the other teams now, they've gotten where they play to win. Used to people say we just go out there to have fun, but now everybody's wanting to win. So we have a target on our back, but we play really hard, and we're very serious about it.
Yeah, and you guys have actually had some injuries, black eyes, broken fingers, right?
Absolutely. And can you believe the other team are the ones that complains to the referees? When we come out with the broken fingers and black eyes and bruises all over, but we don't complain about it. We just say, hey, it's a physical game. If you can't take it, don't get out there.
It's just amazing. Do you have a basketball background? Have you played all your life?
Not all my life. You know, in the 50s when I graduated from high school, I played all in high school. I played from the 7th grade on up. And I loved the women's basketball. But when I graduated, that ended it because there were no WNBA games and there were no college teams. A lot of your high schools did not even have women's teams because, you know, we were supposed to be delicate women or girls, whatever you want to call us at that time, who could not be very physical. We had to be dainty. But the game of basketball has certainly changed, and I'm so glad it has because it's so much more interesting now.
And it's kept you young. I mean, looking at pictures of your team, I said, no, come on, these women can't be in their late 60s and 70s. That's impossible because you guys have stayed very young-looking because I think in part because of the games.
Well, thank you, Richard. I believe the same thing because I think when you have a mindset like we do, we try to keep ourselves physically fit. We're very conscious about our looks and our hair and our nails and our clothes, and we like to look feminine, but we like to play basketball when we're on the court. We're very physical when we get on the court. One of the guys, we told him, we said, hey, tell your producer we want to have a reality show. Put us on his reality show. And he said, y'all are too nice because we had not played. He was just interviewing us. And we told him, we said, not on the court, we're not, but we can be physical. but we are. We're very conscious about our demeanor. You know, we want to be good role models to not only to seniors, but to these young kids and young adults as well.
Now, tell us a little bit about Sullivan because they're your sponsors. How did you go about finding a sponsor? Because obviously with all the flying into tournaments and everything, there's some expense that you've incurred. How'd you go about finding Sullivan as a sponsor?
They found us. You play in 5-year increments in the tournament, 50, 55, 55 to 60, and so forth. Well, I was playing in the 50s, even though I was 60 at that time, I was playing in the 50 age group. You can play down, you know, younger ones, but you cannot play up if you're young and, you know, play older people. So that we were the 50 gold medal winners, national gold medal winners, and they were searching for someone to promote their product, which I think we fit the bill very well because Celadrin is a cream and a pill as well. And it lubricates the joints, and it helps us with our mobility. It relieves the pain, and it's been clinically proven to alleviate pain. And it does, you can take it with your other meds, if you take other meds, which hardly any of us do, but you can take it with other, and it's, there's no side effects to it, and it's just a great product, and we're so glad to be linked with them. And that's another reason we try to be good role models to throughout the country, wherever we go. And so many young people have written us, you know, and young adults have told us that, you've got me so excited, I'm going to go get in the gym. And that's what we want to do.
That's Mavis Albin in conversation with Richard Neer, the team captain of the Celadrin Tigerettes. And certainly an inspiration to each and every one of us. Coming up next, Richard Neer and I are going to talk a little bit about Christmas music, the sounds of the holiday, what we like and what we don't like. That's coming next when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
Feliz Navidad.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
Hi. This is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you're the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
For almost every American worker, Social Security is part of the plan for a secure retirement. It's important to know how the program works. If you have questions, the answers are easy to find when you visit www.socialsecurity.gov. Use the retirement estimator to get a benefit estimate. Browse our frequently asked questions. You can even apply for benefits online. Visit www.socialsecurity.gov to figure out your retirement plan. That's www.socialsecurity.gov.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we continue along our conversation with our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. Richard, as I mentioned earlier, this is the weekend before Christmas, and how are you doing? You enjoying the holiday? Are you all Christmassy at the Neer household?
Unfortunately, no, we're not.
You're not?
Humbug. You know, we have a young dog, and we don't trust him. So normally we put up a tree, and we have all the little ornaments on it, and we're thinking, you know what, if we do that and we don't keep our eye on this guy 24/7, he's going to eat something or break something or the tree's going to fall on his head. So decided not to go full force with the decorations this year. What about you?
I'm enjoying the Christmas music. I always find that to be interesting, but I don't necessarily like it all. I have a strong set of opinions about Christmas music. I think that they should only play the classics and not make any new ones. You ever find when you're listening to the all Christmas formats, you know, and when they're playing Christmas 24/7, so they can't just keep doing Bing Crosby, Do You Hear What I Hear, and the Harry Simeon Chorale, and Johnny Mathis, Winter Wonderland, and, you know, Judy Garland, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. They start playing, you know, new stuff. And it just never is as good. In other words, there's like of the world of the body of Christmas music that they play to fill all the time now. It's like the 24-hour news cycle. I'd say about 80% of it is just like, ugh, get the Ronettes and the Crystals on, will you please? I don't want to hear Darling Love. I want to hear Perry Como singing There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays.
Or
even Karen Carpenter. Who some people consider the Carpenters are no longer, you know, a hip act. They sure do make good Christmas music.
Yeah, well, there's a song, Last Christmas, I think it was, I forget even who does it, was done in the last 10 or 15 years, which I like. But most of them, I agree with you. I mean, even Paul McCartney's wonderful Christmas time.
I turned that off.
Yeah, it's so saccharine. I love Paul, but not that one.
Another one that gets to me, and it's one of the most played that I'm, you know, with all due respect to Burl Ives, Have a Holly Jolly Christmas. I can't take it anymore. And I can't take, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock. Oh. And Brenda Lee, Rocking Around the Christmas. Oh, it's like enough
I
already.
Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Forget
okay,
it.
No. No, you don't like that one?
Doesn't cut it. I just want to hear Johnny Mathis doing...
Sleigh Ride. Wonderland.
Yeah, man, that is just, you know, that just sings, no pun intended. I mean, it just is fantastic. Andy Williams, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Dean Martin, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. I love that.
Boy, you've given me all the Christmas tunes I like. You're vocalizing that.
But
great. I saw something that my brother had. I had never seen it before. It was Frank Sinatra. He was in a swinging bachelor pad somewhere in New York, probably. And the doorbell rings, and it's Bing Crosby.
Oh.
And Bing comes in, and this is available on DVD, I guess, somewhere. It's a half hour. And Bing comes in, and they sing Christmas songs together.
That's
and
great.
They have some eggnog and punch. And it's really very, very charming and certainly a throwback to, I think it was 1957 they did this.
We only have about a minute left. I just want to mention, I was watching the other day the classic performance, Bing Crosby and David Bowie doing the Little Drummer song, Little Drummer Boy. Boom, 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 boom. And that was pretty good.
And that was the last Christmas special he did, and it was actually aired posthumously.
Yeah, I love when he goes, the child, sleeping in the night. You know, oh man, what a voice. Great stuff. All right, fun to do a little reminiscing and kidding around. Merry Christmas to you, Richard. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to many more conversations in the year to come. Thank you so much to Beverly Santinello, our producer on the front line. Thanks to Kevin Casey and Steve Wiseman for their contributions to the program, and of course, the great work of Carol Marks. I'm Michael Harrison. On behalf of all of us, Merry Christmas, and we invite you to join us next weekend right here for another 2-hour installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups.